The flowers are here. We know that. Ruth's office is full of flowers. It's going to smell good for a week or so, so you're in good shape. Is anyone? Please, Chris.
Please take them home. Look for everybody. Pray to a good home. I had them blessed by a priest that kind of
I didn't need any.
No calories now.
No calories.
No calories for Sunday. Anything else? Anyone else would like to share this? Well, we have the full musical group here today. They're packed up here, so it's going to sound good. So why don't we stand now for our first song? Number 367.
Join me in our call. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Nations shall come to his light, and kings to the brightness of his dawn. Join me in shine, Jesus, shine. Join me in prayer. Lord, there is no turning back when we have said yes to you, the God of all creation, the God of glory. There is none like you. Help us to believe, Lord, to believe in our hearts, to let go of all that's here and look to you, our only provision. You fill all our needs. Help us in our faith. Build us up in the faith that you have given to us. Help us to know beyond a shadow of any shadow here on earth that you indeed are the great King of heaven. We give you thanks and we come to worship together because we do believe you are the King of glory. Help us, Lord, to know this beyond a shadow of a doubt. Help us as we come together to pray the prayer that your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated.
I'm glad to see Brother Herb LaPlante in the back row today. My practice when I'm reading the scripture is that I want to speak to Herb LaPlante and Rogene LaPlante in the last row. This morning we're going to read the 80th Psalm in its entirety. And it is on page 540 if you would like to follow on. This is a prayer for Israel's restoration. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh. Stir up your might and come to save us. Restore, O God, let your face shine that we may be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in full measure. You make us the scorn of our neighbors. Our enemies laugh among themselves. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it. It took deep root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. It sent out its branches to the sea and its shoots to the river. Why then have you broken down its walls so that all who pass along the way pluck its fruit? The boar from the forest ravages it, and all that move in the field feed on it. Turn again, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and see. Have regard for this vine, the stock that your right hand planted. They have burned it with fire. They have cut it down. May they perish at the rebuke of your countenance. But let your hand be upon the one at your right hand, the one whom you made strong for yourself. Then we will never turn back from you. Give us life, and we will call on your name. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. And the second reading is from the book of John, first chapter, verses 10 through 18, page 862. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." This is the word of the Lord.
Song, the reason why we do songs. So you want him to talk for about 10 minutes about why we're doing this. Just kidding. But this song is full of truths, and if you just listen to the words, you know, we're going to move forward as a congregation with God leading us. So this song is kind of filled with those truths. So.
Here, moving how time flies. We're already into January, and it's next thing you know, we'll be moving into spring, and I can't wait for that. This morning's sermon is the first sermon in a six-week series I will be calling Restore. This week, we will start with Psalm 80. Restore us, O God, make your face shine upon us, that we may be saved. The next five sermons will be from the book of Proverbs. We will take a break on January 30th as we will join together in Pastor Tim's farewell service. As we deal with our first steps in moving on in the process of finding a new shepherd for our church, I'm hoping that these sermons will give a little insight. Not exact, not a direct line, just a little nudge into ways or ideas that might spark a thought or an idea in helping any one of us to restore our hearts in a new or different direction. The titles are Not How But Whom, Realism, Planning, Trust, and Choosing Well. In Psalm 80, the psalmist looks at the crumbling world around him. He prayed, Restore us, O God, make your face shine upon us, that we may be saved. He understood, first of all, that God restores people. Restore us, O God. The immediate context of the psalmist was that Israel had been ravaged by a foreign power, and they were once again dispossessed. Psalm 80 is a prayer for the restoration of Israel. We find a similar situation in Isaiah 63 through 64. During another time when Israel was dispossessed, desolate, displaced, and despairing. Listen to the similarities in the prayer. Psalm 84 through 6, You have fed us with sorrow and made us drink tears by the bucketful. You have made us the scorn of neighboring nations. Our enemies treat us as a joke. Isaiah 63:17-19. Lord, why have you allowed us to turn from your path? Why have you given us stubborn hearts so we no longer fear you? Return and help us, for we are your servants, the tribes that are your special possession. How briefly your holy people possessed your holy place, and now our enemies have destroyed it. Sometimes it seems as though we never belonged to you, as though we never had been known as your people. God's people no longer commanded the respect that they once had. Their faith no longer had the appeal that it once had. Following God was no longer the exciting event that it once was. They knew that God was still their God, but they no longer recognized the gracious activity in their lives because it was lacking. They just weren't sure where God fit in. But as they examined what had happened in their lives, both the psalmist and Isaiah came to the similar conclusion. The psalmist prayed, Restore us. The word means turn us back to you. Isaiah similarly prayed, We are all infected by impurity of sin. When we display our righteous deeds, they are nothing but filthy rags, like autumn leaves in the fall that wither and fall away, and our sins sweep us away like the wind. Yet no one calls on your name or pleads with you for mercy. Therefore, you have turned away from us and turned us over to our sins. They didn't ask God to make things better. They asked God to make them better. Their concern was not with their circumstance, but with their character. So they prayed, Restore our souls. This should also be the prayer for us. For we know the feelings. We have drunk the tears of sorrow. We have felt the pain of defeat and the sting of bitterness. We have experienced times when our faith no longer had the appeal that it once did, when following God was no longer the exciting event that it once was.
We have realized that being a Christian is no longer what it used to be, no longer draws the respects that it once had, and we feel like aliens in our own land. We knew that God is still our God, but we also recognize His gracious activity in our lives was lacking. We just weren't sure where God fits in. Christian author Leslie Brandt had wonderfully phrased Psalm 80. We have prayed, O God, we have sung your praises, we have proclaimed your love to the world. But today our power is slipping away. Our prestige is wearing thin. People seem to have little respect for us anymore. Those who have been brought up in our structures and have embraced our doctrine are leaving the fold. They say that we no longer meeting their needs and the needs of the world. Great shrines were built in your honor, Lord. Magnificent institutions were established to carry out your purposes. People dedicated their many skills to perpetuate your teachings. Magnitudes gathered to declare your praises. Today, we are in trouble. Lord, the walls are crumbling. Our sanctuaries no longer attract the masses. People's skills are dedicated to other purposes. We are no longer, are we making much of an impression on the world of ours? Think about it. A year ago, in the middle of COVID, we celebrated Advent season with the birth of Jesus. We said Christ would make a difference in our world, didn't we? But did he? It seems that there are more walls between people and nations, more fear and more tension all around us. Our once rich nation is having trouble meeting her budget. Our leaders and citizens cannot get together in a civil manner. Many people are still out of work. Prices have gone up. Just look at the price of gas. And taxes threaten to climb higher. What difference has Jesus made? Where does God fit in? Think about it in your own life. What did you envision the past couple of years would happen? Were your anticipations and expectations met? Have you experienced the healing and the reconciliation for which you have prayed? Who, what is controlling your life? Where does God fit in? It's so easy to pray for God to bring back the old culture that allowed us to truly and freely celebrate Christmas. But perhaps we too need to change. Perhaps we too need to lay hold to God. Perhaps we too need to pray, restore us, restore me, O God. Turn me back. God is in the restoration business. Someone has said that we regenerated only once, but we are converted many times. Perhaps as the Advent season ends, this may be a time to be converted back once again to daily, moment by moment, walking in the presence of Jesus. Perhaps now is the time to start saying again, if what I am about to do or say does not allow me or help me to worship God, then I will not do it. Let's not ask God to make things better. Let's ask Him to make us better. Let's not be concerned with our circumstances as with our character. Let's pray, Lord, restore our souls. The psalmist also knew that God radiates to His people. So his prayer continued, make your face to shine upon us. This phrase carried important meaning for the Israelites. You've heard it often as a benediction from the pulpit by Pastor Tim. It comes from Numbers 6, 24 through 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord turn his face toward you and grant you his peace. For God to shine his face on someone is to bless that person. The benediction was a guarantee of a blessing. In radiating to us, by shining on us, God blesses us. Isaiah used a similar phrase in 64, verse 1. Oh, that you would burst from the heavens and come down. Both men saw the need for a fresh encounter and experience with God. They wanted to feel his blessing and love in a revitalizing way. God is in the radiation business. Make your face shine upon us. Oh, that you would burst from the heavens and come down. These words made a beeline to Bethlehem. God shined his face and he came down. Bethlehem shot an arrow straight to Calvary, where God shined his face and came down. Calvary shot an arrow to the disciples who lived in the faith that God would shine his face and come down yet again. Our passage in John reminds us that he is coming again. Yet it is more than that. It reminds us God has always come seeking his people. God repeatedly says, "Ready or not, here I come." When Jesus was born, people did not find God. God came to them. Ready or not, he came. He radiated to them. And the important meaning for us is that no matter where we are or where we hide, he shines. He comes. Distinguished professor and preacher Fred Craddock said, "Advent, after all, has to do with the coming of the Lord, the birth being but one form of the appearance of Christ. Jesus will be present wherever we are. He is always coming down, always ready to shine. And this shining does make a difference in our lives." A minister in Florida was sitting in his office one Saturday in December, and outside in the courtyard, some men were in the process of building a stage for a live nativity scene. And two children were discussing the process, and one asked the other, "What do you think it's going to be?" The other one answered, "Oh, they're building a live fertility scene." Out of the mouth of babes. When God comes down in Jesus Christ, he brings life. He radiates blessings and fertileness. He turns us, converts us back to himself. As he once turned water into wine, so he transforms us. The idea we learned in Advent is to prepare for Jesus' coming, to be ready for his unexpected appearance in our lives. We must prepare to recognize him. When actor Cary Grant was walking alone on a street one day, a man whose eyes he met were locked onto him with excitement. And the man looked up and he said, "Wait a minute, you're Rock Hudson, and Grant thought, "Well, I'll help the guy out by finishing." He goes, "I'm Cary Grant." The man responded, no, that's not it. The man was just not ready to recognize Cary Grant. We all laugh, but the Bible tells us that God was in a world in Jesus, but the world did not recognize or receive him. Two men were talking. One was an atheist, and he said, "There's no such thing as God." The other man responded, "Why do you say that?" The atheist responded, "I asked for help one day when I was stuck in the desert. I was dying in glaring sun, and I cried out to God for help." Puzzled, the other man said, "Well, something must have happened. You're here now." "Not really," said the atheist. "God did help me. Some crazy Indian came along and saved me." Ready or not, he comes. So be ready, be aware, and be on the lookout. Let's not miss God, for he is here. He has burst the heavens and come down. O Lord, turn us back so that we can see your shining face radiating on us. The reason for uttering such a prayer is that God rescues people. Restore us, O God, make your face shine upon us that we may be saved. God is in the rescue business. When God turns us back so that we can see his radiance, we experience deliverance. We are delivered from our deadly destructive patterns and influences. Jesus frees us. He enables us and he equips us to live an enriched and more godly life. The Apostle Paul wrote it in Corinthian church this way, 1 Corinthians 1:4. I've always give thanks to my God for you because of the grace that he has given through Christ Jesus. For in union with Christ, you have become rich in all things, including all speech and all knowledge. The message about Christ has become so firmly established in you that you have not failed to receive a single blessing. As you wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed, he will also keep you firm in the end, to the end, so that you will be faultless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is to be trusted, and God who calls you to have fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's the difference that Jesus Christ makes. God fits in. In Jesus Christ enriching us to live the way that we were created to live. Jesus revitalizes us. Jesus frees us from our calendar, frees us from our schedules, so that we do not need to be in control of every moment of our lives. He allows us to be interrupted. He allows us to be surprised by his appearing, to live with the freedom to respond to spontaneous moving of the Holy Spirit. With Pastor Tim leaving, we are entering a time of transition and restructuring, a time of major change. I'm not sure if any of us are looking forward to it with great excitement. Fear, tension, and conflict can easily surround us. Transition and change produce that. But as we move through this process, we pray that God comes down in unexpected ways to deliver us. The waters of fear, tension, and conflict get turned into wine, the wine of God's presence and grace. We will restructure. We will continue on for a long time through it. But more importantly, Jesus has begun to revitalize our pastors, our leaders, and our deacons, and more importantly, our church. What is beginning with caution and worry will be turned into celebration and worship. We will experience again that Jesus will deliver and revitalize us. The good news is that this spontaneous, serendipitous presence of God happens more than we realize. And that's what we experience direction for in our lives. Yes, some things never change. We live with the threat of war. There's horrors and selfishness all around us. There's brutality. We're frustrated. We're overwhelmed by inflation and taxes, and we recoil at inactivity around us. But we have hope. We have confidence. We know that God fits into our picture. Even now, he's revitalizing us and the world. We're bursting with expectation, for God has come. He comes all the time, and he will come again. He will prevail. So we live with expectation of Jesus' coming. And what do you do when you know that guests are going to be coming to your house? You clean it up. You get the place ready. If you knew someone special was coming, but you weren't sure when, wouldn't you have a sense of trying to make everything in readiness all the time? So always be ready for the coming of Jesus in your life. Faithfully do the work at hand. Serve Jesus where you are. Let his light radiate through you on the job, at school, at home, and see how often you meet him. Our readiness to meet Jesus in our daily lives will determine if we are ready to meet him in our death. Where does God fit in? Well, where doesn't he? To prepare for your last day, live as though today is your last day. A group of children were putting a Christmas play to show the radiance of Jesus. An electric light was hidden in the manger. All the stage lights were turned off, so only the manger could be seen. But the boy who controlled the lights got confused, and he turned all the lights out. It was a tense moment, broken only by one of the shepherds who yelled, "Hey, you switched off Jesus!" As we move past Advent and through Christmas to Epiphany and into a new year, it's time to remind us where God fits in. He fits in Jesus. He fits in our hearts. Please don't switch him off.
Let us pray.
Restore us, O God. Make your face to shine upon us, that we may be saved. Dear Father, may we have the faith and insight of the wise men, who, when faced with ancient hope of foreign people and the appearance of a remarkable star, grasped the connection and went and followed that star. We stand now in the first days of a new year. We don't know what we will experience as we travel through it, and we don't know what obstacles may lie in our path. Father God, lead us. Lead us like the wise men on a quest of faithfulness and worship, of hopefulness and giving, and always into yourself. You have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and we will be fed this morning with your spiritual food in the sacrament of his precious body and blood. We praise you, Father, for all that you have done in our lives, for your hand of blessing. You have communicated with us in wordless ways, and we can't even imagine the depth of the love that you have for us. We lift up this church, our leaders, and our members for guidance and a clear understanding of your will. We lift up those in need who are struggling this year. Father, we ask for your hand of guidance in all that we do, the decisions we make, the boards that we choose to be on. We pray that you bring those people that you're calling to our boards and committees. We lift up Herb and Rogine and Liz and Chris. How beautiful it is to see them here today. We lift up those who can't be with us, George and Karen Anacoli and Becky Nelson and Art Peel. We pray for continued healing for Robert Morton, Mike Bergamo, Millie Cunningham, Chip Gill, and now Karen O'Connell and Gary Butler. Father God, there are plenty of names that we're lifting up silently. But Father God, look into our hearts. Help us to know that we are with you, that we are in your care, that we are in your love, and that you are with each and every one of us. Father, we praise you and thank you. We lift up this day. Father, grant us strength to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Jesus Christ, our first love. Amen. Let us remain seated for hymn number 196. Everyone, that you'll come down the middle and circle around. We'll have two stations for you. And we invite everyone who confesses their faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior to share
and the meal that he has prepared for us. And at the end, we will partake the bread and the juice together. It is now our sacred privilege to celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. All who humbly put their trust in Christ and to desire his help that they may lead a holy life, all who are truly sorry for their sins and would be delivered from them, are invited here this morning. All who walk in the love of neighbors and intend to live a new life following the commandments of God and walk from now on in his holy ways are invited to draw near with faith and to recognize his holy sacrament.
Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, invites us anew to Holy Communion, through which he will give himself to us and lead us into deeper fellowship with one another. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest."
Would you bow in prayer with me, please? Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought and word and deed, and by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will, walk in your ways to the glory of your name. And if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us all our sins through Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen.
Please rise for our affirmation of faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead, ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. For thence he hath come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
The Apostle Paul tells us, on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And Paul goes on to tell us in the same way. After supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant, my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Paul then tells us whenever we eat this bread or we drink this bread, we proclaim the death of Jesus until he comes again.
Pray with me, please. O Lord of all, we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. Gracious God, we pray that you will send your Holy Spirit on these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and the blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his death and resurrection, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly feast where, with all your saints, we will be gathered into glory everlasting. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Come, for all has been prepared for you.